could you state the date, time, and location of the interview for you?
Today is May 10th, and it is 1:57. I'm here in Kent, Washington, and we're having the interview via Zoom.
And what is your name, and what are the primary things you do on a day-to-day basis?
My name is Anastasia Vaitele, and what I do for a day-to-day basis, I mostly go to work. I work at a small business called Sozo Gifts. I am a lead packer for the company, and my job is to pack gifts for, you know, corporate business and customizing glasses and wood boards. When I'm not at work, I'm mostly at home with my family. So for me, it's mostly going to work and coming home to help around the house and working on school-related tasks.
Cool. And where do you live, and what's it like to live there?
I live in Kent, Washington. Mm-hmm. The weather is super bipolar here, but it's always nice and cool. Sometimes I love it. Sometimes I don't, depending on, you know, the mood and the weather. Even if the weather is nice, I hardly go outside. I'm more of an indoor type of person.
And when you first learned about COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it, and how have your thoughts changed since then?
I first learned about COVID when I was in St. George, Utah. I attended Dixie State University for my bachelor's during the time. I honestly did not have any idea about the virus because I'm not the kind to watch the news. But my professors, they were always talking about it, but I have no idea what it was. They're saying that things are going to change and all of our classes are going to move online. Knowing me, I did not pay any attention to it, thinking it was just, you know, another joke. It was just another hoax played by my professors. It wasn't until, like, borders began to close that I began to take it more seriously. When in American Samoa, where I originally from, they began to close their borders, that's when I was like, oh, something is going on. And I began to watch the news, and that's when I started to learn more about the COVID. So by March 2019, all of our classes were moved online. I think March 2019 or 2020, I'm not sure. It's been a very long time since the COVID, and I can't even remember the right time. So classes were moved online. The university was closed down. A lot of nearby restaurants were closed down, and we were stuck in our apartment. Everything was so sudden. It was very different. I have never seen anything like it. My first thought was that, oh, America, you know, the great nation is humbled by this virus. And when I say that, I mean America, the once busy nation, is suddenly silenced and closed down by this virus. It was scary, and no doubt it was scary, because a lot of things became uncertain at the time. Me and my friends were planning a trip to go back home to American Samoa for the summer, but suddenly we couldn't, and that made it very sad. I think for right now, I have learned to adapt and to keep up with the virus. I am comfortable knowing that I know what to do now. It became a norm. It wasn't a norm before, but now it's a norm for me to always remember my mask when I go out. It's like if I don't have my mask, I feel naked and unsecured in sort of type of way. Mm-hmm. So the virus brought new habits and certain ways to be safe and secured. So, yeah.
And so, like, how has COVID-19, the outbreak, how has that affected the way you associate and communicate with your friends and family?
Yeah, well, when I moved here to the States for school, I communicate mostly with my family and friends on FaceTime and video chat. So when the pandemic hit, I was still communicating with them the same way. It was, nothing has changed. But the only thing that changed was not being able to go back home. So I worked at McDonald's as a part-timer during that time to save up enough money to pay for my fare to go back home. And a round trip to go back home is like $1,500 to $1,600, depending on how soon you go home. So I saved up enough money. I was looking forward to go back home, to travel back home, but I couldn't. The borders were closed. So that was the only downside of things. But communicating with them through FaceTime and video chat, it did not change for me. And I was blessed and grateful that I still had the opportunity to connect with my family and friends back home, even with the pandemic. So.
Yeah, and so I guess not being able to go back to American Samoa was probably your biggest challenge, but were there any other big challenges that you faced during the COVID-19 outbreak?
Oh, yeah. Yes, one of the biggest challenges was not going back home. And other challenges that I faced and me and my roommates faced was maintaining our weight and our sleeping schedule.
Yeah.
With the pandemic, we were stuck at home. We had nothing to do. We had all the time to ourselves. And our roommates and I, we began to take up the habit of baking and cooking. We baked certain recipes that we've always wanted to bake because we did not have the time before. And now that with all the time in the world at our hands, we were able to bake and cook whatever we wanted to eat. And we were just eating and catching up on shows that we didn't get to watch because of school, because of our normal schedules and routines of going to classes, going to work, and coming back home. And also, our sleeping schedule was so messed up. We went from sleeping at 10 p.m. at night to sleeping at 4 or 5 in the morning because we were up, like, you know, bonding, watching shows, baking, having a good laugh. It was all about, you know, bonding time. It was a lot of bonding time. I think we grew tired of it at one point because, you know, we, after doing all the things that we wanted to do, we ended up with nothing else to do but to, except for watching more shows and doing all the things, other things that we wanted to do, and it got boring and tired. We were just, I don't know, it got to that point where we wanted to go outside and just walk around and do the things that we wanted to do that we did before, like going to, having enough exercise by walking to the school and walking back home, but we couldn't do that. So not only were we were overeating and, but our sleeping schedule was way off. It was just insane.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you talk a little bit about your roommates and the people around you. How did people around you kind of respond to the COVID-19 pandemic?
I think with my roommates, my friends, and I think we were calm about the situation. It was, although we were surprised and shocked at a new reality of America, it was just, we were calm about it. We did not overreact in any way. But our phones were blowing up because of our families back home. They were always checking up to see if we have enough food, if we were okay, and if we were staying inside the house and not going outside. I think our families were more worried about us than we were worried about us. And I understand that because we were far away from each other. They did not want us to get sick or something happened to us while we were away from home. So we had to assure them countless times that we were staying in and not going outside. So mm-hmm. we were calm about it, but our families were not.
Yeah, I'm curious, how was the pandemic kind of in American Samoa, talking to your family? How was that?
When I think American Samoa, they were quick to react to the situation. They closed down their borders. They did not allow any type of traveling in and out of the island. So they were COVID-free for a very long time until the beginning of this year, when they started to opening up the borders and opening up for in-flight flights coming into the island. That's when they started to experience a surge in cases. But during the pandemic, during the time like around 2020, American Samoa was COVID-free at the time. So my families were pretty, they were doing normal things. They were just, they were not locked down for a while. I mean, they were at some point, but not for a long time, because they didn't have any cases at the time. So they were still operating normally because they did not have any cases. But the only thing that changed was they did not allow any flights to come into the island. When they opened up the borders and they started to have flights coming into the island, that's when they had cases. So now they're American Samoa is having a difficult time right now because they're just experiencing what we, America, went through when they first experienced COVID. But yeah.
So do your family, do they have access to like masks and the vaccine and things like that?
Yeah. At one point they did, but then, you know, it's a small island. Mm-hmm. Supplies go out very easily. So, me and my siblings here, we tend to send care packages back home, and we send them like masks, vitamins, and you know, the things that we use here, for even gloves. So I think that was our main task when me and my siblings did, when we first heard that there are cases back home. We started to send my family's back home all the things that they need, you know, for the virus, just to keep them safe.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Kind of circling back to you in the United States, is there a specific pandemic-related memory that stands out to you?
Yes. A specific memory that really stands out to me would be finding toilet paper. It may seem insane, but I have never experienced in my life something like this, of calling different stores if they had toilet paper in stock. Me and my friends even had to search it up on Amazon, and we were shocked to see the prices of the once $5.99 bundle of toilet paper became $12.99 or even $13.99. We always go to Walmart to buy our groceries before the pandemic, and that is like one of our favorite things to do with my roommates. But by the time we went to Walmart during the pandemic, shelves were so empty. People were overbuying a lot of stuff that they do not need, especially the toilet papers. We even had to ask the workers, you know, the best time to come to the store to buy toilet paper. And they said that opening time is the best time. So me and my friends ended up making a plan to go to different stores at, like, the opening time to buy toilet paper, you know, because it was limited to a one person. There was, like, a specific amount of toilet paper you had to buy. And one of us would go to Walmart, the other go to Walgreens, and the other to another store. So by the time we get back home, we have more toilet paper. And that we would not have to go out to buy more. So it was a funny situation and one of my favorite memories. It was the mission to find toilet paper. So, yeah.
That's crazy. So, have supplies kind of gotten better? Like, you're able to find toilet paper now and things, or is it still kind of a struggle sometimes?
Things are a lot better now than when we first started having the pandemic. But yeah, it's crazy. It was crazy. It was mind blowing.
Oh, yeah.
To think that people were overstocking and taking a lot of toilet paper. But, yeah.
So, kind of looking to the future, knowing what you know now, what do you think individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future in regards to COVID?
With what I know now, with everything that we know now, it would be easier said than done to say that this won't happen again. But, you know, we never know what the future will bring. Mm-hmm. And there's a saying that history tends to repeat itself. You know, this is not the first time that America experienced something like this.
Mm-hmm.
But if something like this were to happen again, things would be much better if the government reacted to the situation sooner.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the government acted sooner to the virus, the situation would not be this worse. I mean, America was late to the game of, you know, combating the virus. I mean, it is never wrong to be cautious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should all learn from that, especially the government. So now that we know what to do, we should be, you know, we should prepare for the future, whatever comes our way. So, yeah.
Sure. And are you kind of optimistic about things kind of getting back to normal, or are you a bit more pessimistic like some people?
I'm very optimistic that things will be okay and things will be back to normal. I mean, it wouldn't be back to how it was before, like the normal that we know. I mean, things will be opening up. A lot of things will be opening up. A lot of things will be, we go back to, you know, operating the same way. But the way that people are right now, you know, with the situation with the masks, it's like people are, even with me, it became a habit for me to go out, to have my mask, to always have my mask on my head. I mean, it became really weird for me to see that people are now walking around with no masks. But, you know, we're all different, so people tend to react to the situation differently. But for me and to some other people, it became a norm for us to always have our masks on, even with regulations saying that we don't need our masks. I'm more secured and I feel weird without my mask. So now, I mean, things have changed for me and how I react to the pandemic and how my normal life has been and for now. But I think I'm optimistic that things will be better. And, you know, I'm just saying that America should react more sooner to the situation,
mm-hmm.
to combat, you know, so that we don't have to go through the same thing again.
Perfect. Thank you.